Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We are glad to be with you here. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester, Max Power producing. About to be joined by Paul Savage, TJ Cleland, Brandon Zinner, because we are making Friday football picks, and it's going to be. But before we do that, let's bring in the gang. We got Brandon getting ready for a tea time, I believe. We've got TJ on his way to his bachelor party, and we have Paul Savage doing Paul Savage things, joining us in studio as well. Tommy, before we dig into this, how did we do last week?
Yeah, so it was a back and forth week depending on who you were. Paul had another good week at 4-2, extending his lead overall. Yeah. TJ and I also both went 4-2, so it was a good week for the two of us as well. It gets TJ a couple more games over 500, and me back getting closer to that 500 mark. Jacob, unfortunately, you and Brandon both finished the week at 2-4.
Yeah, that's fine. I had a couple good weeks in a row. Nobody's crying here. Nobody's crying. We got this week to make it up. We're not even halfway through this bad boy. Maybe we are in college football. But let's do it. Let's get into some of these games. So we get a full slate this week. It's been a couple of weeks since we've had that. But we get KU, K-State, the Chiefs to pick, as well as some other really good games. And let's start in college football, and let's start with KU hosting Houston, coming off of a bye, 5.5-point favorites. Paul, your good week lets you lead off this
Beautiful.
Week.
Let's do it.
I mean, this is the one, right, against Houston. But you have any confidence to lay 5.5 points with KU?
You know something? This is a game that if it wasn't KU, would you even watch this game? I mean, if you were from the state of Oklahoma or Texas, say you're from Albuquerque, New Mexico, you're not watching this game, are you, Tommy? I don't think you're watching this game.
I don't know what I'd be doing if I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yeah, there you go. Going with the balloon rides. Yeah. That's probably what you'd be doing. But with that being said, you know, I think we're sleeping on Houston. You know, I think Houston is that monster ready to be released, ready to make a run. I think Houston might be the best worst team in the United States. What do you think of that? That's what I think. So I think I'm going to go ahead and take Houston. I think I like the points because I'm getting some points, 5.5 points. I'm taking Houston. I'll probably be on an island on this one.
Oh, Tommy, do you agree with that? This is hard. It's hard anytime we're dealing with KU here.
Yeah, no, I don't agree with that. I think that this is the week, especially coming off a bye. It has allowed Lance Leipold to, you know, get some time to take stock of that program and what has been happening and how in the world to turn it around. And what's fortunate for the Jayhawks is that off of that bye, they get a team like Houston, which they're not a good team. They're not a sleeping giant. They're not good. And so I think that Kansas gets it figured out. I think they right the ship. Maybe we'll have egg on my face when it's all said and done, but I'm going to ride with Kansas and lay the 5.5.
Tommy. But this is football we're talking about. This isn't basketball. This is football.
TJ, you had your decent week last week as well. What are you feeling on this one?
All that I'm feeling right now is that we need to get the picks fired up quicker because we're about to cross the Kansas State line into Oklahoma. So I need to know what I need to do.
Uh-oh. Here.
I'm going to say that KU might be the first 0-5 team against FBS teams to be favored by 5.5 points. That's unheard of, that I think. This line should definitely be like a pick 'em in my eyes. I think KU will win this game, but I think that there's no chance.
Yeah, Brandon, are you comfortable laying the number?
I'm comfortable with Houston getting points. This game, if I believe right, KU opened up at 7.5, 8.5, and it's been bet all the way down to 5.5. And Paul's been doing something right, so I'm just gonna I'm going to hop on board with him. Either I drag him down or he lifts me up.
So, there you go. I'm going to lift you up, my son. Lift you up.
I'll take KU.
Hey, come on. Give me an island here, man. Jacob. Come on.
The only reason is I'm gonna throw Lance Leipold a bone on being a great coach that can do something with a bye week to get the offense did look better in the last game. For the first time, it looked like it wasn't broken. Maybe if the defense is going to be unbroken, they're not going to have a better opportunity than this. I'll reluctantly take the Jayhawks. K-State at West Virginia, 2.5-point favorites on the road. Tommy, are you okay with that with the Cats?
Everything in my being screams trap game for the Wildcats coming into Morgantown, coming off of the Colorado game a week ago where there was so much flash and everything was in place in Boulder, taking on Coach Prime, and the Wildcats get a big emotional win and all of that. And then having to go into Morgantown the very next week and take on a West Virginia team that, let's face it, they're pretty pissed off, especially after losing to Iowa State last weekend. Everything in me says trap game, but I think Chris Klieman has a recipe figured out on the way to break that. I'm actually going to take Kansas State. I'm going to lay the 2.5.
Okay. It is 2.5 now, which is interesting, by the way. It was at 3.5 and then to 3. I like it at 2.5. I was very concerned at 3.5. I might like it now as an actual bet. 3.5 was going to be weird with that hook. 2.5 field goal. Yeah, give me that. I'll take the Cats. I think this will be a little ugly, but the Cats can't afford to lose. So I'll keep going that road with it. They can't afford a loss. TJ.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you, Jacob. If it was 3.5, I probably would be taking West Virginia. But I think that this is a game that K-State, it'll be a lot like the Colorado game and the fact that they may have to come back on the final drive, and they won that one by just a field goal, too. So I'm going to take K-State in this one to cover.
Brandon, you agree?
They were able to get out of a hostile environment last week with a win. It was an ugly game, a lot of penalties. Avery wasn't able to use his legs a whole lot. I think Avery's going to have a chance to run a little bit more this week, and the Cats are going to get another big road win in Big 12 play. Give me the Cats.
Paul, you got a chance for an island if you want to take West Virginia. You going to take a tough guy?
You know, tough guy, huh? Tough guy.
You going to take that tough
guy?
Yeah,
you talk like that when you're like 30 miles away, don't you? Huh? That's how this works. But I'll tell you this right now. West Virginia, trying
to goad you into it.
I know. I can see that. But, you know, West Virginia's kind of my surprise team. Tommy, I think this team has surprised me. I think it surprised a lot of people. I did not expect them to be this good. I think West Virginia is not as good as Kansas State. But at home, getting 2.5, I'll go ahead and take West Virginia. You know, I didn't get to be the leader by just screwing around and sitting on my laurels. That's right, screwing around. I'm not screwing around.
Sitting on your what?
Sitting on my laurels.
Oh, okay.
What are laurels? Anyway, I'm taking West Virginia. What do you think of that? Thanks for the island.
I think I just baited you into that is what I think. All right, Georgia and Texas. Texas is a 4.5-point favorite, TJ. I think everybody in the world, this feels trappy to me, too. Longhorns at home, though. 4.5, you good with that number?
I'll be in Texas all weekend, so there's no chance that I'm betting against the Longhorns. They may win by 100 in this game just because I'm down there, but I do think that they're going to play really well. We talked about this. Even if Quinn Ewers doesn't have it, they can go to the bench and they can go to Arch Manning. I think that this is going to be the first time that they may actually do it for real if Georgia defense gives them some trouble. So give me Texas to cover this one.
Brandon, what do you think?
Well, the fact that TJ is in Texas worries me and makes me want to lean Georgia just a little bit. But, I mean, this Texas defense is, by all metrics and all eye tests, the best in the country. And I think they just have enough big game experience. This is a really good Texas team. I think they're the best team in the country. Give me the Longhorns at home.
Oh, Paul, I don't know what to do with this one. Where are you at?
You don't want to go? I'll go right now. Right now, I can see where the money's going on this particular show. It's going to Texas. By the way, I had a friend of mine buy Final Four football tickets for Arlington.
Oh, in the CFP?
Yeah, and Final Four. And with fees, we're talking in the $800 range, and you don't even know who you're going to see. But you figure if it's Final Four, they're probably going to be some good football teams, right?
So you would think.
You would think. So anyway, but that's kind of interesting. I think... Georgia can win this game outright. I think Georgia is still a good football team. Is it as good as Texas? No. But sometimes teams like Georgia step up and they say, you know something, not today. I don't care if it's their house, not today. They're going to come in with a chip on their shoulder. They're being supplanted by this weird team from Texas. I think Georgia prevails, and I think Georgia wins outright. But you're going to give me 4.5? Fine with me. I'm taking Georgia.
My problem is I don't want any reason in my brain to not root for Texas to win this game. I may be in the minority, but I hope Texas and Oklahoma blow that conference up, not go to that conference and fail. I don't want any reason to sit there and watch that game and be like, oh, I hope I get my Friday pick right. Let's go Georgia. No, I'm going to take Texas for that reason alone.
All right.
Tommy, you going to leave Paul to Georgia Island?
Man, it's really, really hard to give Paul back-to-back islands. I really like Texas a lot. And really, it's because of what Brandon said. Their defense is awesome.
Their defense against Oklahoma's backup quarterback and sixth-string wide receiver.
Yeah, but it's not just in the game last week. It's been throughout the season. Their defense has been pretty stout. But it's crazy to me that in this year's world, and you know, because of everything that's happened in Georgia and all that, you've got a team that, in the Bulldogs, coached by Kirby Smart, that they were the kings of college football. They have been the kings of college football for the last couple of years, and they're getting points in the SEC against a conference opponent. That is really difficult to wrap my head around, even if it is reality. So, yeah, it's hard for me to give Paul an island. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go ahead and take Georgia. Okay. I'm going to take the points. It wouldn't shock me if Texas blows out Georgia, but I'm going to take Georgia. I'm going to take the points.
I'm also still crying foul that nobody told me when I took Oklahoma last week that they were on their backup quarterback and six-string wide receiver. I had no idea that was happening when I thought Oklahoma. Whatever. All right, that's college. Let's go to the pros. There are so many good pro games this week. It was hard to take three. We'll start with Houston and Green Bay. The Packers are 3-point favorites at home in this game to the Texans. Brandon, these all feel like coin flips. These games we're going to pick to me. Which way are you going on this one?
Yeah, this one is this is probably the toughest game when I look at the slate of which way to go. I really just like this Texas team, but I think this Packers team with Jordan Love fully back healthy, I just like what they're able to do. They blew the brakes off at home last week, and I think they're going to have a chance to cover again at home. Give me the Pack.
DJ, Brandon's going home team. Where are you going with it?
The Packers have only lost one game in North America this year, and it was to the Minnesota Vikings, so you can't fault them for that. The Vikings are an absolute wagon this year, so I'm going to pick the Packers to keep it rolling. They're covering 3 this week.
Paul?
Well, you know something? I said in the preseason, before we even started the NFL season, that I wouldn't have been surprised to see the Texans in a championship game. I just wouldn't be surprised to see that. I think for that reason, and I'm still not quite the Jordan Love fan. I mean, I'm just not. I can't bring myself yet. I probably will be. It's not there yet. I'm going to go ahead and take Houston. And by the way, I might end up being on an island on this one.
Tommy, what do you think about that?
Man, it was really impressive to see what Green Bay did to the Cardinals last week. I thought that they would cover, but I didn't think that they would blow out Arizona. I thought that it would be a more competitive game. That was surprising to me, just the margin of victory that the Packers had. But are we forgetting about C.J. Stroud? Are we forgetting about the Texans? I know you're not, Paul, but like in my mind, I've thought this all season long that Houston, maybe outside of Baltimore, is the only other legitimate threat in the AFC to be the representative in the Super Bowl. I mean, I think Houston is there and really can, you know, be that legitimate contender for a Super Bowl title. You know, I'm going to take the Texans. Them getting points. Again, it was really impressive what the Packers did. I love C.J. Stroud. I love Houston. I'm going to take the Texans, and I'm going to take the points.
I got to break the tie then. The bet that I will make on this game is the over. Texans are missing Nico Collins. They showed you last week that C.J. Stroud will be just fine without him. Jordan Love's finally got, I think this week, finally kind of got all his weapons for the first time too. So the over is the actual play in the game that I like. I will just take the points in a coin flip game. I've got the 3. I really think C.J. Stroud is even better than we think he is. I think Jordan Love's good too, but I'll just take the points. I think it's that close. Just give me the points. Give me the Texans. Detroit at Minnesota. Brandon, you can lead us off with this one because I know you're foaming at the mouth for it. Your Vikings are 1.5-point favorites at home. Detroit did what it did against Dallas last week. It's debatable how impressive that is, depending on what you think about the Cowboys. But can they cover this home spread coming off a bye?
Dallas sucks. Minnesota doesn't. Give me the Vikings.
Correct. Yeah.
Love that.
Okay, that. Yep. That's good. TJ? TJ, what do you have in this one? All right. TJ's got reception issues, I believe. Paul, we'll go to you next.
Well, you know something? Obviously, I'm a fan of Detroit. I'm actually a Dan Campbell fan is what I am. But with that being said, something bad really happened in the last game they played, and that, of course, is the injuries to the fine young defensive end, Hutchinson, and it was just shame to see it. I hate to see it. I can't ever see it. I will not see the replay. I don't want to see it of that injury. I'm just sick about that whole thing. And that can have an effect on a football team. And, of course, you're not going to replace him. I mean, you're going to get a fine athlete. You're going to get a fine defensive end back in. But what does that do with the mental set of this football team? I think it could be a problem the first time out. Or it might be, well, let's play for Hutchinson. I think I will go ahead and take Detroit. But I'm not doing it with the confidence of a situation with a team, because I don't know the mental state of this team, but I'll go ahead and take Detroit.
TJ, we got you back. One for the Vikings, one for Detroit. Which way are you leaning?
I'm losing service here. We're not in the great state of Kansas anymore, as you can tell. I'm going to pick the Vikings. They're the cash cow of the year. I've made so much money on them. I'm just going to keep riding with them. I'm going to pick the undefeated team to stay undefeated. I don't care who they're playing. They've shown it so far. They're going to keep doing it.
Tommy, I think at least the lines have caught up to the Vikings. I don't think you're getting a discount on them anymore. But, you know, on a neutral field, Detroit would, you know, if the field's worth 3 points, then it would say Detroit's a slight favorite. Do you buy that?
Well, the Vikings are coming off of a bye, which I think is helpful, but also the last time out for Minnesota, I know that they're undefeated, but that was the first time we saw Sam Darnold not have a great game. I mean, he didn't throw for any touchdowns. He threw for an interception. The yards passing, not great compared to what we've seen in previous weeks. That is a little bit concerning, you know, because I don't think that anybody really thought that Darnold was going to get off to the start overall that he has. Is this a trend or was it just a one-off? Knowing the history of Sam Darnold, I'm concerned that it might be a trend. Give me Detroit. Give me the points. I'm going to take the Lions.
Aaron Jones looks like he's going to play in this game. That's probably my deciding factor. I'll take the Vikings. As much as I liked the over, I'm surprised this total is bigger than Texans-Packers, by the way the Vikings have played defense. I'm going to take the Vikings. I think until they prove they can get to a quarterback without Hutchinson, I think he's responsible for something like 65% of their quarterback pressures this year, something absurd like that. I can't get behind that until I see it at least one time, because if you leave Darnold upright, he's going to shred anybody. So I'll take the Vikings this week, and I think Aaron Jones is a big factor in it with him being back. All right, here's the one, Chiefs-Niners, that I have struggled with. The Niners are 1.5-point favorites. I'll go first here, and I'm going to say right now that I reserve the right with my wallet to change my mind on this.
Okay.
But if Juju Smith-Schuster is out, I'm going to take the 49ers. And right now he's got a hamstring injury and he's limited in practice. So without seeing today's practice report, assuming that he's limited or if he's out, I'm going to take the 49ers. If Juju plays, I will probably switch that actually this weekend. It's a game I'm not going to bet until kickoff because I got to see if Juju plays. I'll, for sake of these picks, assume that he is not. And in that scenario, I'll take the 49ers. You know, the Chiefs after a bye are really good. You got to go all the way back to last year to find the last time they lost coming out of a bye week. They did that last year. So I'll take the 49ers. Tommy?
Well, my justification in picking this game is basically on a bunch of trends. And you mentioned one, the Chiefs and Andy Reid off of a bye week, Patrick Mahomes as an underdog. The Chiefs are 4-1 against the spread this season. Even in the games that have been really close, they've covered the number 4 out of their 5 games. And we want to talk about injuries. I know the Chiefs have a couple, but the Niners have a bunch. So because of all of that, if I'm going to get points as Kansas City as an underdog, give me those points. Give me the Chiefs. I think that they stay undefeated. I think they win outright, but I'm going to take the points for sure.
Paul, you love line play. You've got Nick Bosa up against struggling left tackles for the Chiefs. That's a factor we haven't even really talked about yet. Which side of this are you on?
Well, this is going to be probably the most fun game to watch of all of them, obviously, with Kansas City. It's always fun with Mahomes. But, you know, you bring up a point because I always like to take a look, and particularly in the NFL, of physicality. And you're right, Bosa is something special. But Kansas City, you know, they can get pushed in the middle. They can do those kind of things, too. My deciding factor, I guess, would be McCaffrey. He's not playing. And that's one of those deals where, man, he's a difference maker for that football team. And the fact that he's not playing, and even though they're, what, six games into him not playing, it's still a factor for me. I'm going to take Kansas City. They cover. I don't know that they win by a bunch, but I hope they cover, but they will win this game.
Brandon, it feels like an underplay to me with the injuries there, but we got to pick it against the spread. Which side of this are you on?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't know what is that. Probably around 42.5 or something.
47. It's at 47.
40. Yeah, I would hammer that under. It feels like it's just going to be a back and forth, control the time of possession, control the ball. Both of these teams are super banged up. But my pick just comes down to one factor, and that's Patrick Mahomes off a bye with points. It's hard to go against that. I don't have as much confidence in this one, but I just trust Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes to make just enough plays. And Spags, remember, the 49ers tried to hire Spags in the offseason. He might give them a little reminder of, yeah, this is why you guys wanted to bring me in. Give me that Chiefs defense to do just enough to cover.
TJ, we know about the Super Bowls with Mahomes over the Niners. He has shredded them in two regular season games historically. Those, you got to go kind of back for those. So I don't know how much of that carries over. But we're looking for trends in this game. Where are you at with this one?
Well, first of all, who would have thought that in the year 2024 we were basing our lines off of Juju Smith-Schuster injuries for the Kansas City Chiefs? So that's a wild thought. I'm going to pick the Chiefs. You know, Patrick Mahomes as an underdog in his career, historically one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time as an underdog, and the rarity that he is an underdog. So I think that trend's going to continue on, and the 49ers just have a couple of bad losses. It's not the 49ers team that we all thought it was going to be in the preseason, thus far at least. I think the Chiefs are going to get it done. I think they'll win by multiple points.
I do think these are still the two best teams in their respective conferences. No offense to Brandon's Vikings. If they get healthy by the postseason, they're not healthy right now by any means. Fellas, it's going to be, I think we're going to be all over the place. These are all insanely difficult games this week. TJ, don't do anything I wouldn't do on your bachelor party this weekend. Enjoy the time there. Tell the gang in the car that we said hello here. Brandon, hit him straight today.
It's 50-mile-an-hour winds. I have no idea why I'm out here, but
low.
In the honor of seeing the esteemed Taylor Eldridge today, so I had an opportunity.
Texas Panhandle Golf. Hit him low.
Wow.
Low line drives.
That's it.
That's all you can do.
I just hit it.
Paul, stick around. We got more to talk about.
I will.
Let's come back. Let's dig a little more into this Chiefs-Niners game. It is a fascinating one. Fascinating. We're going to talk more about it when we return. More Sports Daily right after this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
You want to win some HTO? You can right now. A free iced tea, free iced or hot coffee, one of each by texting the keyword tea, TEA, to the short code 20357. These gifts are available at any of the Wichita Metro locations, two in Wichita, one in Derby. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Again, win some HTO. Text the keyword TTEA to the short code 20357. Jason, we appreciate the nice words. Says our pick segment is his favorite of the week. Loves the banter. He's cheering for Team Castor and Team Upside Down Pineapple, which would be me to win the week. I've taken a lot of heat for that.
Love that.
In the last 48, 96 hours or whatever. Appropriately, yeah. I deserve it.
Yeah, by the
way. I don't
know
how. Yes, Paul.
I went through my trove.
No, the answer is no, Paul. Absolutely not.
No, I got you. I went through my trove of shirts. I've got two of them that have pineapples. None of them are upside down, though. What,
there you go. You know, you're safe. Or maybe you're not safe.
No.
Maybe
I was wanting one. I wanted to find one, and I was going to wear it Wednesday, but I don't have one.
Well, hey, here's a little tease that Paul and I had to switch some days, and so Paul will be on Tuesday next week.
That's right.
I will be on Wednesday, so I'm trying to figure out what the heck I'm going to do.
Do you even have one?
Act like you don't own a Hawaiian shirt.
We'll see.
I'll bring you one.
No. Of course, I'm okay, Paul. Thank you. Thank you for the offer. I'm okay.
Guys, this Chiefs Niners game, I get it's so wild. I cannot wait for it. I don't know that there is a team that I have historically, since betting has become legal in the state of Kansas, lost more money with than the 49ers. I can't ever get them right. They always let me down as far as betting. I'm going to have a hard time going with the Chiefs if Juju's not there. These trends are wild. Kansas City lost out of the bye week last year. They lost coming out of the bye. And so I don't know what to do with the trends. Mahomes has killed them, but in the Super Bowls, it's been like one play kind of games. I got to tell you, I'm worried about Nick Bosa versus those left tackles. And worried, not just for this game, but I'm worried for any heat Mahomes ever takes. And there, it's going to have to be quick. And without Juju, that quick pass game seems limited more than normal, Tommy.
Yeah, I'm probably going to have to ultimately defer to the ball coach sitting next to me, who's worked on the line for a number of years, to really get his assessment of that. But, I mean, there are some things that the Chiefs could do and probably should do to be able to try to help out on the left tackle, and that may very well mean like getting, a tight end or two, yep, to help block, a running back block, with that sort of thing, to try to try to slow down Nick Bosa to an extent. Because I do agree that there is there's an issue at left tackle. I mean, because Wanya Morris, I think we all know that play has overall been underwhelming this year, at least at that position for Kansas City on the line. The middle of the line has been really solid, of course, but that's been an issue. And so I do think that there are some things that the Chiefs probably could and should do to help make that better. Is that a fair assessment, Paul?
I think it's a wonderful assessment, because what I was going to say was, more than likely you're going to see Kansas City keeping a back end in the backfield and help chip off on those defensive ends.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the first thing you do, because what you do is you do it with numbers.
Yeah.
If you want to equalize.
And Kareem Hunt does that well. That's one of the things he does very well.
Yeah. And of course, what happens is, you get used, the defense gets used to seeing the defensive, or see the offensive back. He's in the backfield, he's blocking. All of a sudden he slips out, slips out in the flats, nobody's around. You know, the receivers to that side run off all the DBs, run them off, and you drop it off out into the flat, and, you know, you pick up 20, 25 yards. That's what's going to happen. But you're right, Tommy. When you have a problem like that, you're going to compensate. I doubt if they compensate with tight ends.
Okay.
I don't think, now I could be wrong, but they might have a package where they will do that. But I think a running back, we're going to see the game start out with running backs hanging around, you know. So anyway, it'll be interesting to see. Tommy was exactly right, knew exactly the right thing, to say. So I'm looking forward, of course, to Patrick Mahomes. I took Kansas City because when you wonder about the bet with Kansas City Chiefs, think of Patrick Mahomes, and that'll help you, you know, feel at ease with your pick. Anytime you take Kansas City on anything, you got Patrick Mahomes. That's not a bad weapon to have in your arsenal if you're making these kind of picks.
It's always the safest thing in a game where the spread is basically a pick 'em. It's always safe to just take Mahomes. I totally agree. I would say this, though. At least out of the gates to me, it doesn't take a genius to know that both of these teams would like to and would be benefited by establishing the run right out of the gates. That's one of the reasons I really think it feels like an under game. I don't think the Chiefs have any interest in putting Patrick Mahomes in that kind of a situation with Bosa. I think they'd love to run the ball. You know, Fred Warner is one of the best in the business, but I think they'd love to run the ball. We know the Niners always want to run the ball. And so I think we're going to see a little of that early, kind of that, you know, tug of war early on of a lot of action from the running backs in this game. Thank goodness Kareem Hunt's here, right? We may see some Carson Steele in this game, but, if I'm Andy Reid and I'm coming up with a game plan and I know that Juju's limited and all the different things that are happening in this game, I'm looking at this and saying, all right, what is the strength of this team? It is that interior offensive line. We're going up against a defense that, while it's not an amazing defense this year, it's chock full of playmakers. If I can, I want to establish that run. I will bet you Kareem Hunt sees north of 20 carries. I think it will be north of 25 carries, but I bet it's north of 20. And I think both of these teams are going to do everything they can to establish that before they do anything else.
Here's the other thing, too. You can't make an impact or think that there will be a large impact with the injuries that the Chiefs have without also taking into account all of the injuries that the Niners have. And they are way more banged up than Kansas City is. I mean, all you have to do is look at the injury report and the number of players that are on both teams' report from yesterday, and it's like double for San Francisco than it is for Kansas City. Of course, Christian McCaffrey's been out the entire season, but Jordan Mason has been limited all this week in practice. Juwan Jennings hasn't practiced. I don't know if he'll practice today. He didn't practice on Wednesday. He didn't practice on Thursday. And there wasn't anything in their game last week against the Seahawks that would indicate that he was injured. It's a hip injury, apparently, that's concerning. Deebo Samuel has been limited by injuries. On the defense, Charvarius Ward has been limited. And there are several others also, but there are some big-time playmakers for the Niners that are banged up, and we don't know what their status is going into this game. So if we're going to say that there's an impact with Juju Smith-Schuster potentially dealing with the hamstring and, you know, some of the other injuries that, you know, the Chiefs are dealing with, you also have to take into account how banged up the Niners are.
I think that's right. A couple others, injury report, I'm glad you mentioned it. Deebo has been limited. I think he's expected to play, as will Ayuk. They also get their rookie, Ricky Pearsall, back, I believe. He's been a full participant. The one that if I'm, you know, in a game where the line is at 1.5 and we all expect it will be close, the 49ers have a kicker issue right now. Jake Moody has been banged up. He hasn't been practicing. So that could absolutely be a factor in this if he's not able to go. The Chiefs injury report is short. It's very short.
Yeah.
Now they get Clyde Edwards-Helaire back. I don't know how much he'll play. They get Derek Nnadi back. I think Juju's the one, though.
Yeah.
And only because it on the injury report, we're not seeing Rashi Rice and Isaiah Pacheco and Hollywood Brown, because they're on IR basically. You know, so we're not seeing them on the injury report, but they're on the injury report. They're not playing in this game. So, again, if Juju goes in this game, I will go with the Chiefs. Like, if we get it today and it was just precautionary and he's a full participant or whatever, and we think, I'm not going to touch this game until Sunday at what time would we get that? About 2 o'clock when we get, you know, inactives. If Juju goes, I'll take the Chiefs. If he does not, I think I'll take the 49ers. Unless that kicker's out.
I just don't think. I mean, look, like, yeah, Juju, from a volume perspective, sure, is important, but I'm not basing I pick this game on Juju Smith-Schuster. Like, I think that's putting way too much stock in his importance in this game.
It is, and I don't mean that like everything lies on Juju Smith-Schuster. It's the unknown, though, for me, that in a game this close, I don't know exactly what the Chiefs will do without that position filled. It's not as obvious as it was last week to me with the Saints. Well, they'll just throw to a ton of tight ends and be good. Teams have attacked the 49ers with tight ends. It's a road game. It's a road game, and the Chiefs have had all the good fortune this year. I will probably land back with the Chiefs, but on this day with that injury in a tight contest, I like the under. I'm gonna bet the under. That's what I'm actually gonna bet. I can't wait for this game. I can't wait for all of these games. We didn't pick or talk. We got Ravens Bucks this week. Yeah. There are marquee games on the schedule this week in the NFL. That we didn't even get to. I don't know how we're supposed to get anything accomplished this weekend. Hey, you want to do something fun Saturday night, babe? Yeah, that sounds good. Oh, you know what? We got K-State, out in West Virginia, and we got Texas, Georgia at 6:30.
But on the flip side, can we be honest that the Sunday night game is a stinker? Like, if you're going to get out and do anything, Sunday night would be the game. It's the Jets and the Steelers. Like, I don't care about that game at all.
I'm kind of in on that. Really? I'm kind of in on that from a storyline game.
We get the Jets in primetime again. Like, come on.
I know. I don't know how this happened. That's too risky. You can't do that. There's too much unknown with the Jets. But I think the storylines of that one are pretty juicy. Not like last night when we had Broncos Saints. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I mean, good for the Broncos. Wasn't even a good game. What they should have done, what they needed to do, Paul. Like, that's what should have happened.
Yep.
With what the Saints are dealing with, but with injuries right now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you talk about that's about as borderline unwatchable in the NFL as
well.
You can get.
I started it and then I got out of it pretty quick. And I don't know. I watched some lines on my television go across. That was about more entertaining than that game. But with that being said, don't sit on the Jets. I mean, Aaron Rodgers and what's going on with the Jets is a fascinating situation with regards to. I'm fascinated to wait and see how did the Jets do now that they've had a head coach fired right in the middle of the season and. You've got one of the great quarterbacks of all time and Aaron Rodgers running the program. Let's see what happens. I think this is setting up, Tommy, to be like a melodrama.
Yeah.
Like a soap opera.
And that's my problem with it is that
I like that. You don't like it?
Here's my issue with this matchup is that the storylines for this game with both of these teams really have very little to do with actual football. It has very little to do actually what's going on the field. It's the drama with the Jets and the personnel, and of course, Saul is out and Rodgers, and they bring in Devontae Adams. Like, there's all of this, stuff swirling around. And then even with the Steelers, you've got a quarterback controversy with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. Like, it's not, for me, I don't think that the conversation on Monday morning will be about how the game itself actually played out. It's going to be more about the things that are not actually related to the on-field play.
Now,
I probably disagree with that. I actually think we've got two teams that are not at the top of the scrap heap in the AFC, but they're in the mix, at least as far as I think both these teams could be playoff teams, that are trying to, like, I would like to know what the absolute upside of both of these teams are.
Okay.
I know that the Jets looked better offensively in game one without Salah Hackett, basically, than they have. And now they just added Devontae Adams. I kind of want to see what that looks like. And for the Steelers, we talked about it yesterday for just a second. Like, if they could ever find a quarterback, right? I don't know if it's Russell Wilson. I don't think it's Russell Wilson.
Not many think that.
But I do think that there's at least some level of possibility that he's a better fit than Justin Fields in the offense. So in what's a conservative offense and all of these things for a conservative quarterback who probably was not as bad in Denver as he was blamed for everything. So I do think there's intrigue. I would just like to know if at any point we think either of those teams could end up being contenders in the playoffs right now. I don't think either of them are, but they both just made moves that could swing the pendulum a little bit. So I'm in on that game, but it doesn't matter. The other games that we've talked about are far greater, far better, far more interesting, including that Chiefs-Niners game, which is just, man, I hope it's as good as we think it will be and should be and can be. And it's as hard to predict. There's just so many different factors. Like, there's so many different factors between the injuries, everything. It's wild. It's going to be good. You'll hear it, by the way, over on the home of Chiefs football, KNSS, 2 o'clock coverage beginning there. Pregame coverage is 3:25 kick. So that'll be there for you over on KNSS. Make sure you find it there. The IHOP hotline is back open, by the way, where you can celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP House faves, all your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. It's 869-1240. I guess Tony Bennett just didn't like the state of college athletics. He's given his presser right now, quote, "The game in college athletics just not in a healthy spot. I think I was equipped to do the job the old way." Got no problem with that. Somebody's going to take that spot. Man, I do have a problem with doing it right now. Well, we could have done that a long time ago.
It's different, though.
It is different, but why not do that in April?
Well, he did say that he had been sort of re-energized and re-motivated about, you know, moving forward. He'd been thinking about it for a while. But in the spring, something had happened where I think it was maybe the incoming class or something he was excited about. But then there was some trip he took with his wife like a month ago where he wanted to reevaluate his priorities and determine that it was the right time.
You know something?
Then do it a month ago.
Well, but that sometimes, you know, the aura of whatever's going on hits you at a different time. Here's the problem.
I guess.
Here's the problem. He didn't want to have to play the money game. It's this as simple as that. I'm just sure. He doesn't want to play the NIL game. He doesn't.
100%.
He doesn't want to say.
He
doesn't want to lose a kid because Ole Miss is going to pay some kid he wanted $100,000 more for the year than he can pay. That's what he got tired of. Because right now, let's face it, how important is money? Like, real important.
Look, I'm kind of the opinion that, yeah, while I don't feel bad for him for walking away, I'm also not going to begrudge him for walking away either. Yeah, it's not what he wanted to do anymore. In the same way that, like, if I didn't like the state of what I was doing every day, there wouldn't be sympathy for me to walk away, and people, like, somebody would fill my role. But also, I wouldn't feel like people needed to begrudge me either for doing it. Like, I'm
right.
Fine with the fact that he wants to walk away.
Right.
Happy for him. If he does, if his heart isn't in it anymore, then great. Go and do something else.
I am too. I agree. I wish he could have had better timing because it puts his players in a tough spot, puts his university in a tough spot. So I think that probably bothers me a little bit, but again,
what do you think is better though? Do you think it's better for him to step aside a couple of weeks before the season or to go through an entire season not having his heart in it?
That's a good point.
And then the program could absolutely implode because the coach is not bought in. He's not committed.
Yeah.
He's not into it.
Something tells me he's already figured out this program's not going to win a lot. That's part of the reason. I guarantee
that's an interesting point too.
That's part of the reason that he's not wanting to do this. And by the way, we've come such a far away, Tommy. I don't think you were doing were you doing a show about 3 years ago?
I've been on for about two years.
Well, Jacob, you remember about 3 years ago when NIL was just getting started and everybody was trying to keep it secret? KU and K-State weren't wanting to tell people what they're paying these players and all that kind of stuff. And you remember we did a show one time where I said, well, I happen to know that some of the local kids were getting around $250,000 for NIL. Do you remember that? And all the schools were trying to keep it quiet and what's going on, who's getting what. And the way it turns out, Tommy, is that the secret was let out because an athlete would tell grandma what he was going to get. Grandma, I'm getting $250,000 to go to this particular university.
Did grandma tell you? Is that how you knew?
No, but grandma told everybody at church.
Okay. Gotcha.
She told everybody at church, my little baby's going to get $250,000. Yeah. So how long do you think that secret lasted? So now that was part of the evolution of NIL. Because let's face it. They were going to try to keep this all from us. They didn't want us to know anything.
I'm just thinking about.
I would imagine that there were NFL coaches who loved the model without free agency, right?
Yeah,
they loved it.
Absolutely,
they can draft players and keep them forever.
Sure, that's exactly right.
Free agency comes, and it's like, well, this isn't what I signed up for. This isn't nearly as easy. All these players I invest this time in, they could just leave at any point. And guess what? We got free agents.
The only bargaining power in the NFL for years that players had was right when they were coming out of college and they were being drafted before free agency. Like, I'm not going to go and play for that team. Do not draft me. I'm not going to, like John Elway, so, I'm not going to play.
John Elway's perfect. You
know, but now it's different.
I bring that up because we adapted to free agency.
Right.
There's no lack of coaching, great coaches, anything in the NFL because free agency happened. There's not going to be a lack of great coaches in college athletics because NIL and eventually revenue sharing is happening. Some will adapt and some will go right off into the sunset.
Right.
Great. But I'm not going to blame the change. The change is the right thing to do. Free agency was the right thing to do. So don't blame the change for why some of these guys are stepping away. They're making that choice themselves. Not everybody's making that choice. They are. Great for them. But the game's changing. Get on board or get out.
And for people that, you know, have said, well, the old way was better. Okay, well, you know, the forward pass had been outlawed at the very beginning of the game of college football. And we've moved on, and now it's an integral part of the game. Right? Like, I know it's different because that's an actual rule in the game or whatever, not the way that players are compensated. But I just reiterate what I said at the very top of the show. I can't imagine there's anybody out there, maybe I'm wrong, but anybody out there that watches a college football game or a college basketball game now that NIL is part of it, and they think about the amount of money the player's being made as they're watching the game, and it lessens their enjoyment of the game. And if you are a person like that, you're a fool. You're a fool for letting it impact your enjoyment of the game. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, because if you don't like it, just don't watch it.
Right? Well, I do get frustrated with free agency in baseball.
Why? What?
Because
they make so much money?
No, well, part of it is because nowadays I always like to see a player come and go and stay and be a part of a baseball. I go back to Mickey Mantle and those kind of days. I want those days back where guys go and stay.
They stay with the team the entire time.
And stay with what's wrong with that? This is pro.
Yep.
That's great for the team. All right, we'll come right back. We'll tell you what's on the networks today.
Plumbing troubles? Call the experts at Superior Plumbing. Your best choice for brand name parts.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.